reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is it that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, "And how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly, for the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal home. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have wealth, who will entrust you? If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. We pray that as we hear your word, that we will heed to it. Give us understanding in the words that we have heard this morning, and allow us to serve you and you alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we heard some strong words from Jesus. This week, we hear words that I think can be confusing for us. I'll be honest with you, when this Luke passage is brought before us in the Revised Common Lectionary, it often is one that pastors ignore. We often choose the Old Testament reading or the epistle reading to preach on instead of the gospel reading. This parable isn't a typical parable, is it? It's a difficult one. Who is the master? Is the master Jesus? If so, it appears as if Jesus is giving kudos to this dishonest manager. And if that's the case, how does that fit in with how we are to live our lives as Christians? Where does the parable end? Does it end before verse 8, in which case the master is the Lord? Does it end in the middle of verse 8, where it begins with the children? Or at the end of verse 8, and I'll reread verse 8 so you remember what it says. It says that his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly, for the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. puts it in there because the next verse begins, and I tell you. So does it include that and include the verses from 10 through 13? Or are those verses representative of a separate tradition? Even reading commentaries on these passages is confusing. And if you don't know what a commentary is a name that pastors often use that are Bible-related studies and writings on giving us a better understanding of what God's Word says. For pastors like me, this is difficult, and I need to rely on those commentaries for a reason. When I went to course of study for my seminary work, it wasn't required that I take Hebrew or Greek, and so I did not take either. And so I can't go back and read the original text, which is in Greek, and discern it on my own. And so I have to rely on the wisdom of theologians and scholars who have written the commentaries, who know that original language, to help me have a better understanding on it. But here's the problem. Just as there are different translations of the Bible, where you read that same passage of Scripture and it is said just a little bit differently, when you read and study commentaries, it is the same. And sometimes those commentaries don't always agree with one another. And so where does that leave somebody like me to bring forth the Word of God? Well, it makes me rely on God's Holy Spirit. I need to rely on God's Holy Spirit to guide me and direct me to the words that He has for us. So I can guarantee you there were a lot of sweat and prayers poured into this message this morning. And I pray now that God's Holy Spirit is revealed in truth of His Word and what He wants for us this morning. Those of us who are here and those who are listening to us on WTRN, may all of our hearts be open to hear God's message. What we do need to understand about this passage of Scripture is Jesus is not praising the man for his dishonesty. What he is praising the man for is his cleverness in thinking. This man is called a manager in this passage of Scripture. He was a steward. He was a steward put in charge of taking care of this rich man's properties and possessions, things that were not his own. And yet, in doing so, he cheated the very person who was providing for him and his family. He has wasted the master's wealth and he gets discovered. The rich man gets called in to give an account of his stewardship, in other words, an audit of his work. And the manager's work or guilt is never in doubt, is it? We're never told there was any doubt as to this man stealing from the rich man, from his boss. The boss tells him, "You will no longer be employed by me." The manager says, "What am I going to do?" He's at a loss because he says, "I have no other skills. I'm not strong enough to dig. And I'm not going to shame myself by begging on the streets." And so he devises a plan. And obviously at this point, money is of no value to him. Because they will help provide for his future. Now you have to question whether he overcharged in the first place, padding his pockets a little, so that when he calls the debtors in to knock off amounts that is owed to his boss, that it was monies that he had overcharged in the first place. And the rich man really wouldn't be losing any money at all. The main theme of this parable is material wealth. This parable tells us that God can use anyone or anything to teach us through his words. Jesus is using someone that you and I would probably discount. And yet we know that we can learn valuable lessons through bad examples. Remember, Jesus isn't condoning this manager's actions. He's not condoning this manager's dishonesty or his laziness. But he's complimenting his craftiness. His craftiness to help others to secure his own future. See, this man is willing to give up his worldly wealth to know that he'll be cared for. Are you still confused about how this helps us as Christians? The question we have to ask ourselves is, what type of stewards are we? See, one day you and I are going to stand before God and we're going to give an account of how it is that we have cared for what God has given us. And God has given us everything. You and I are going to have to give an account of how it is that we upheld our vows that we took as United Methodists, that we will support the church with our time, our talents, our gifts, our service, and our witness for Jesus Christ. But even if you're not a member of the United Methodist Church, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we will have to give an account for how it is that we have lived according to the will of God. Jesus is making an assessment. Assessments are made for each of us. Jesus is saying the people of this world are more shrewd than the children of light. More shrewd than the children of light. When you think of being a child of light, do you think that you should be shrewd? When you think of the kingdom of God, do you think, how is it that we can bring others into this kingdom of God, into the family of God, with the same zeal that the children of this world pursue profits? If we live with that same zeal, our world will look very different. Why do people get so excited about pursuing profits? They get excited because of what it is that they're going to benefit from. They're looking at how it is they're going to secure their future here on earth. We should be that excited about how it is that we're going to secure our future for all of eternity and the future of others. Because you and I are called just to secure our future. We're called to take the good news out into this world so that others' futures will be secured as well. You and I are called to use the resources benefit others, to build the kingdom of God. So how are we using our resources? Are we being good stewards? Are we using the resources that God has given us to show others the love of Jesus Christ so that their future will be secure as well? There's no better way to show the love of Jesus than through generosity. Think about what it means to be generous. Oftentimes when we think of what it means to be generous, we think of money, and that is definitely one way for us to be generous. To provide those flood buckets for Mission Central, it cannot be done without money because we need to buy the products, right? To feed the hungry through our food bank, it can't be done without money because we need to buy the food that feeds the hungry. So we know that money is important many times in carrying out the mission of Jesus Christ. And do you know that 1/3 of Jesus' parables talk about money? A subject we often don't talk about. But his parables talk about what is our relationship of faithfulness and money. We all know Scripture tells us money is the root of all evil. Now, it doesn't say money itself is evil. It says money is the root of all evil. The reason being, it's our attitude and our use of money that can lead to evil. There was a survey, and the survey was taken quite a while ago. People were asked, how much do you feel you need to make to live the American dream? Those who earned $25,000 said that to live the American dream, they think that they needed to earn $54,000. Those who earned $100,000 annually said that they felt they would need an average of $192,000 to live the American dream. What does this tell you about the average person? That whether they make a little or whether they make a lot, they don't think they make enough. That they think what they need is double what they already have. For the poorer person, they think it's a tad over double. For the richer person, it's a tad under. So it averages out to about double. Double to have that American dream, to live that good life. But my friends, we have the American dream. We have Jesus Christ. The good life is already here. Jesus is alive. And he wants nothing more than to be the center of our lives. Is he? Is he the center of our lives? As I said 2 weeks ago, there are a lot of superficial Christians in our world. People who know how to play that role. And yet, they're not really faithful in living their lives for Jesus Christ. People who know how to project this image when there are others around them. When people can see them. And yet, they're a totally different person. When they think no one is watching. Christ calls us to be honest and to be faithful. He says, whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? Have we been faithful with what God has given us? Because everything we have has come from God. Everything. Is it an issue of how it is that we manage the resources God has given us? Do we even realize how great the resources are that we have? Everything we have belongs to God. The followers of Jesus Christ are called to manage that in a faithful and an honest way. It's our faithfulness that will give us our blessings. Jesus states that serving two masters is simply impossible. And when Jesus says that, what he's talking about is our hearts. Where are our hearts? Do they truly belong to Jesus Christ? See, many people say they love God. Many people say, I want to be a follower of Jesus. But then they fail to use their time, their talents, their gifts, their service, and their witness for the Lord. When we love God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we will make sacrifices for His sake and for the sake of making sure that the good news is shared with all. This parable is a hard parable. But do we make it hard? Do we struggle to truly understand it because we don't truly want to examine our own lives to see who it is that we are serving? Do we struggle with that? Because Jesus says we can't serve but God and wealth. So let's be honest with ourselves. Let's examine our hearts. And let's see who it is we truly serve. Amen.